Yes.
All right, thank you very much.
And were the churches notified of this public hearing?
I put the public hearing notice in the paper.
They have access.
And on the website, and posted.
Of course, this pertains to new construction.
That's right, existing, the grandfathered, so that wouldn't apply.
Any other questions to that? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the public hearing.
So moved.
Moved by Dan, will second?
Second.
Second by Jim, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Very well. Move on now into the caucus for the regular council meeting, January 10th, 2023.
Yeah, maybe you can explain it first.
Very good. We will actually start from the bottom up. We're going to start with ordinance 2023-4, which is on page 3 of the agenda. And we see that Michael Perry is here from the vice president from CBIZ, who has done a lot of work. In fact, I think Michael has worked for us back in looking at this issue years ago. So Michael's more than familiar with this. Welcome, Michael.
Greetings.
And I'll read the legislation reads, it's ordinance 2023-4. It's ordinance authorizing the placement of property and casualty insurance through Selective Insurance Company of America for 2023-2024. And Michael, I'll leave the floor to you.
Greetings, salutations. We've spent 3 years visiting with the idea of the city buying insurance for its liability exposures. The city has always purchased property and has always purchased automobiles. And historically, that's been through the Travelers Insurance Company. But 3 years ago, we visited buying liability for public official, employment practices, wrongful termination, law enforcement, and an umbrella policy. And it was presented in 2020, and it never moved forward for reasons unknown to me. And that was a carrier called Hudson. And the problem the city has is it doesn't have any credibility relevant to its liabilities. We've been using TAP legal bills to support incurred expenses associated to the city's liabilities, whether it be a trip and fall, whether it be our wrongful termination, diversity. The details of the payments made to TAF don't support. We're not getting the detail of what's involved in that litigation when we see the expense associated to it. So we've been presenting insurance carriers these legal bills for over a 3 or 4 year window that have not been credible in their eyes. It's like applying for a credit card when you've never had a credit card. You get denied. So we went out to 32 different insurance carriers, and they all declined to engage in city independence. And they declined because of lack of credibility, and they declined because of the recent large settlement that occurred a year ago. And so we finally went to Selective, who said, we'll take a flyer on them. Selective in 2009 and 10 was the insurer for the city for its autos and property. So there was a very lengthy process of application. Dennis put together a great narrative of the legal fees that were spent and how it was associated, and Selective has presented us an offer. Essentially, what he distributed to you folks last Friday was a snapshot of an additional expense of $140,000, that basically gives the city $6 million of liability for wrongful termination, harassment, discrimination, diversity, public official liability, law enforcement, that you currently do not have any coverage. The good news is the deductible on liability is zero. So there is no retention the city will incur. It's 100% laid off to the insurance company. So essentially what you're doing is you're transferring the legal fees you pay historically to the insurance carrier. The good news is you get an extra $6 million to take care of settlements in the event of a major problem. And that's where we are today.
Any questions for Michael?
Yeah, I think you said one word.
So yeah, Jim,
do you go over all the different categories that would be covered under landfills?
I'm sorry?
You mentioned a number of different categories that would be covered under. Can you go through some examples?
General liability, which is premises and operations for all of the property you own for trip and falls, law enforcement, wrongful terminate, law enforcement, wrongful arrest, police abuse, employment practices to include wrongful termination, sexual harassment and discrimination, diversity issues, as well as public official. You folks making incorrect decisions where an individual sues an individual public official for wrongful acts. This is what you're picking up coverage for.
Thank you. Michael, just the reason we couldn't get the last couple of years is because of the multi-million dollar exposure from that claim?
The claim, the derogatoriness of the claim being not settled and left open was a no-go. Okay. For employment practices.
So this will be for 2 or 3 years, we'll build a record then?
You need to buy first dollar insurance to get a track record started. You will then dictate your own future by your own experience.
Okay.
But you must start somewhere. Relying on your internal measures for legal bills is not credible.
Okay. And you anticipate that reducing if we maintain a clean record, so to speak, like a driving record, if you keep it pretty clean?
If you're spending $260,000 a year for, the city has $54 million of real estate you own. You have 150 autos, you have a couple of $1 million of equipment. All of that is included in that total number. So if you're spending $250,000 of insurance and you're only paying out 50, in claims, you're profitable. In the property casualty world, they don't want to incur more than 30 to 40% in claims versus what they're taking in from you. Unlike healthcare is actuarial based on paying out 85 cents every dollar. Property casualty is not based. It's based on only paying out 30 cents out of every dollar. So you'll dictate your own future by your own experience.
Thanks, Mayor. I have a question from someone who's attending.
Yes.
Via Zoom. What was the total cost of the payout, as well as the legal fees associated with the wrongful termination lawsuit?
Michael wouldn't know that.
I'm privy by conversation, but yeah. I believe Dennis or Vern can share that information.
What the question was, the legal fees?
The legal fees and the total cost of the payout.
Offhand, I remember the settlement because that was legislated by council. That was $973,000 and change. We have the legal fees in our files. We have to dig that out. I don't have that number by memory.
On the crime policy, does that include cyber activity as well, or do we have a separate cyber policy?
The city did have cyber, however, it failed the penetration test, and it doesn't have the proper protocol in place for cyber to be in place as we sit here. They did have cyber. It was not renewed for non-compliance. It is called MFA, multi-factor authentication, and that was subject we discussed.
Yeah. Jim Gibbs is currently working on that. I followed up with him probably a couple months ago. He said we're probably into the first quarter of this year when we will have a multifaceted approval in place and we will qualify for the cyber.
All right, don't click that link. I send him a test. By the way, that's an exploding smoking areas.
Yeah.
So, no, that needs to happen. And today, you can't get cyber unless you've got a multi-factor. You know, you get a code to type in and set a text. The city's internal infrastructure doesn't support that currently.
And it's fair to say that it's gone up, in some cases, 300%.
It's a seller's market. Mm-hmm. It's whatever the traffic will bear.
And being that there's no deductible, what is the size of the claims that they
There will be a deductible on cyber, but on the liabilities, there is no deductible. It's first dollar retention.
So then 100% of TAF's legal fees will be reimbursed?
Well, they won't be. You won't be using TAF anymore.
Okay, we'll be using the insurance.
For any litigation or claim that falls under the items that we're buying insurance for, gets parlayed to the insurance carrier, and they have boutique firms. TAF could be a panel counsel that they could use, or Retzel, or any number of firms.
Yeah, we are not a panel counsel for any of the insurance companies that I know, not Select, because we represent the insurance companies when they get sued. We don't do the third-party claims. But like we have, for instance, over the years, we've had car accidents, unfortunately. We would refer those to the insurance company, and the insurance company would hire a law firm to handle that at their reduced rates, and they would work the file and resolve it within claims. But
the insurance company has prearranged firms with prearranged rates, and they tend to settle these matters, so you will not be directing them to interim counsel any longer.
So this is something I've candidly, under many administrations, have advocated for.
Correct.
Because we have not, the city has not had the types of insurance that are necessary for those big claims. And I think the last, that employment-related issue has brought it more to the forefront. But,
correct.
I haven't gone through this policy, but the pricing, I'm sure, knowing my history, that will come down based on the claims that the city receives. So I think I'll make a little prediction that if the pricing is right and the premium should go down, assuming nothing else changes.
Yeah, historically, it's liability alone that's costing. Hudson, who did offer 3 years ago, they did revisit and did offer, but their offer was over 300, what we're looking at, and they had 50,000 retention. So,
but what's kept me as the city's lawyer up is the fact that we've had, you know, right now we have $6 million to rely upon, which is a good healthy number in the event we find ourselves in an unfortunate situation.
Correct.
Any other questions for Michael?
And the request is, we didn't need to do it, but because of the timing to do it on first reading, Michael, you could explain that once a carrier has a quote out there, they can't have it sitting out there for months and months and months, otherwise it doesn't clear out, and they're going to have to re-quote.
Correct. Because we've revisited this year over year, the market, they react as if there is no sincerity in actually securing the coverage on the behalf of the city. So they typically impose a deadline of, are we going to do this or aren't we? The quote through Selective was sent to us on December the 5th, and they have followed up and said, what's this city doing? Where are we? What's happening? Are there any final subjectivities? And so if we don't move, they can withdraw the offer. Even if it's approved, they can still change the terms because we haven't told them to buy any issue. But we assume it's going to be as presented as you have been given the numbers.
So we'll be entertaining this legislation this evening. We'll be voting on it tonight, you know, first reading.
We had anticipated this, and if it caught my note from last Friday, we did budget for this too. So we actually over budgeted a little bit, so the $149,000 came in just a tad under what we had anticipated. So there's enough money in that general insurance account in the general government grouping to pick this.
Some travelers who's the current incumbent carrier for the property and automobiles, they will be terminated. Let's assume the date is the 15th of January application of this coverage, because Select had required all in or nothing, because it's about them getting the leverage of dollars. Travelers had no interest in quoting the city's liabilities. They are not interested at all, I mean, there's just, this was a moot point.
So a claim of a wrongful, God forbid, a wrongful death, civil rights violation with the police department that's covered under this?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Not for Michael, but for a budgeting perspective, we do have, I don't know, $750,000 or $1 million in our self-insurance fund. Would that be reallocated, or would that be maintained until?
It's going to be maintained until council determines if it wants to allocate it someplace else, but my recommendation would be to keep it there until we sort out some of these issues and determine, it's always a good safety net.
Tim's got a question.
Yes, Tim.
I heard that there was a zero deductible on this policy, is that correct?
Correct.
It would, you know, given everything that you said, I don't know if it'd be worth it, consider if we raise the deductible to the lower premium.
Well, generally speaking, the answer to that would be yes, such as on your home or your car.
Yeah.
However, in the case of this account, it's being priced collectively.
Yeah.
So if you go to the carrier and ask for a, they put it together this way, they don't want to provide any savings.
Right, yeah.
They're looking at getting minimum dollars to fund for a catastrophic claim, and they look to do that over a 3-year window. So if they're charging you $250,000, they hope within 3 years they've collected enough money to pay out a catastrophic event, whether it be liability, whether it be a fire at the library, whatever could occur.
Any other questions? Well, Michael, thank you very much. We will.
My pleasure.
Is there, as far as council, any opposition to this legislation? We've been put on the consent agenda this evening. I think we've been discussing for quite some time. This debate will be put on the consent agenda. On second reading, ordinance number 2022-167, that was the subject of the public hearing that we had. I guess we will go at the time, I know there might be a motion on there to amend this and everything. Should we wait till the time comes to take the motion, should we?
No, we do it at the time of vote.
So we'll do it at the time of voting, so they want time to come to raise that motion at morning. So we'll be voting on that ordinance number 2022-167 this evening. Now we go into first reading on page 2. Ordinance number 2023-1. It's ordinance amending section 141.01, Police Department, establishment of members of the codified ordinances of the City of Independence and declaring an emergency.
Yes, thank you. So this is reducing our sergeant numbers in our ordinance. It is currently 5. We are asking it to be reduced down to 4. If you all recall, when I started here in 2021, we increased the number of lieutenants from 4 to 5. So this is just swapping that number until we can utilize the position, which might be late in 2023. Currently, we do not have a place for that as we have that extra lieutenant's position. We have a sergeant retiring on this Friday after 37 years of service. And I have spoken to Greg O'Brien, and we have, after speaking, it is, we need to do this before he retires so that we are not forced into making a position that we do not currently have room for.
Any questions for Chief Butler? Hi, Jim.
Hey, yeah, Chief, we're reducing our sergeants to 4, but we still have 5 lieutenants?
We do still have 5 lieutenants, yes, sir.
And from a chain of command perspective, do the lieutenants not work with the sergeants to issue orders to the police, or how does that work? Because I just out of curiosity, it would be usually you want to have a consistent
that's utilized in schools. It was an SRO position that's been a sergeant for many years. When I started here, I looked at all of the sergeant lieutenant positions, and I was aware that Sergeant Brody retired within 1 year, and I chose to let that go through attrition. If I came here and I upset the apple cart beyond belief and moved people around where they were uncomfortable, I felt resistance would have been, from being an outsider, would definitely be what I got. I'd be putting people that were not ready to be in different locations into those spots. So he does not currently manage anyone at this point. So by allowing this position to be taken away for now, it allows us to still have our clear chain of command for the road. This sergeant's position is not on the road. It was in the schools.
I just have a question about our process and our format with this legislation here. Looking at it, it looks as though the original legislation is what was in red and is striped, and then we're adding just the numerics, and then the on and after the enactment of this ordinance by means of that?
Yes. Other than the numeric, that's the only change, yes.
And without that on and after the enactment, it would read, by means of attrition, the number of sergeants authorized herein shall be reduced from 5 to 4. So isn't that...
I'm sorry, then whoever provided it, that whole sentence is new.
Okay, so it should all be in blue?
Yes. Mine is not colored, so...
Okay, yeah, I was just... the way it reads to me, yeah, is that nothing is being changed.
Well, the original, just to give you kind of color here, that I originally revised it and then had an epiphany over the holiday break. And you know what? Let's be a little bit more clear. So I added that on and after. So I think what my assistant
second
did.
Second revision.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, but it was your first revision, but my second.
I got you. Now that makes sense.
And Councilman Trakas, we're still on the same pathway, the mayor and I, as what we discussed in 2021. Which was the format of the department that was discussed in the safety committee meeting in November of 2021, December 2021, around that time period. We're just getting there. It's taking time to complete our dream format for our structure.
And do we currently have 2 deputy chiefs?
We do not. We have no deputy chiefs currently. The reason why we made the 5th lieutenant position was to cover us for not having a deputy chief at that time. Eventually, we hope, with discussion with the mayor, approval from our safety director, we will have a chief, a deputy chief, 4 lieutenants, and 5 sergeants. That's the goal. But again, I'm trying to get through this through attrition. Some of us are stepping up and doing extra work. I am not trying to put people in positions that I cannot utilize to the best of their abilities and it's not impactful to the department. So if we have to step up and do the extra work until we can get to the format that's best, I do not want to frivolously spend and have a person that's not managing anybody being paid as a manager. That's why we're doing this at this point.
So for a civil service position, unless we did it this way, I mean, the civil service rules under the revised code, which we are subject to, we would have to test, put someone in a position, go through the procedure set forth in the revised code through the Civil Service Commission, go through this whole long drawn-out process, give reasons for, and then do away with the position, and then the person who would be mandated putting into the position would have to revert back to their old position. Doing it this way, there was actually a case a few years ago that we found that this was upheld by the Ohio courts, that prior to the position being vacated, you can get rid of it without going through the mandatory process in the revised code.
Any further questions of the chief? Any opposition to this legislation this evening? Debbie will put this on the consent agenda. Thank you, Chief. Ordinance number 2023-2. It's an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a community cost share agreement with the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District for the Lower Brookside Road Stream Stabilization Project. And Don, if you want to comment on this, I know we did get a memo regarding this from Clark, and that expound on a little bit more?
Sure, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I reported prior occasions at the utilities committee meetings regarding this project that was in the works with the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District. In 2019, they had purchased the old Dashner's property from her grandson and demolished it. And this is the very property that they had planned a stream restoration project, you know, the creek behind Old Woodywood Archer's property. It takes a hard bend and it's prone to flooding. So this project, stream restoration project, will entail a lot of excavation and benching and creating an area for the creek to expand and let the water spread out, slow down the velocity. So that's the crux of the project. That's upwards of $600,000. Immediately west of there, a couple of properties upstream, our sanitary sewer that comes down from Montello and Dale Road runs along the northern bank. The stream is being eroded and it's at risk of failure. It's a 12-inch sanitary main. It's a real threat to the environment if we can undermine it and crack and expose and spill. So the Regional Sewer District, because they were so close to that issue, they offered to mitigate that concern for us, and they incorporated the work. They're going to repair the bank, they're going to encase the sewer main and the concrete and give it back some cover. So it's a nice little project. The items reported and misunderstood the cost share at prior meetings. I assumed that the city was on the hook to pay for all the expenses of that sewer repair and spring work. And that was incorrect. The amount was approximately 50. It's ended up being about 56,000 is the estimate. The Regional Sewer District is agreeing to split that cost with us 50-50, so our share would be half of that, around 28,000 and some change. And then what they're also saying is now, apart from 28,000, it's eligible for us to use our community cost share funding, so that in theory, no out of pocket money would be needed to support the project. So they've done all the Army Corps and EPA permitting for the stream work. Easements, they've secured easements from the property owners, so all that work has been done, all that heavy lifting has been done without our having to get involved. Our only involvement would be to cooperate formally in an agreement with the Regional Sewer District. So this ordinance, requested ordinance, would be that formal agreement.
And reading the memo from Donna Friedman from the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District, she states that we currently have $88,721 and some change in that cost share account, so that even after this, we'd still have 60,000 left in that account.
Correct, and just because it was asked, I believe, if, you know, again, this is an estimate, just like similar to what happened to us with the ODOT projects recently, if there's the actual agreement will be based on the actual bid of the low bidder and contract award, and should that number go up, this program, the pro rata share of 50-50 would still be in place, so our funding, requirement funding would show up, but again, we don't need to, and there's flexibility in the account that we can accommodate those costs.
Sure, that's good. Any questions for Don?
Otherwise, they're going to go.
I have a question related to cost sharing. I know that at a utilities meeting, there was a conversation about the number of small cost sharing commitments that the city made. Jim Trakas, did we get that report?
It all was in the meeting minutes. I mean, we didn't have a specific report. I think it was said that there were less than 10 of these types of arrangements that were put together. And I'll work with Jim Riley to make sure that he gets that.
Excellent. Thank you.
Any other questions for Don? Any opposition to this legislation this evening? Debbie will place on the consent agenda. And we have one last piece of legislation before we head over to the regular meeting of council. Ordinance 2023-3. This ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a capital improvement community park recreation conservation project pass-through grant agreement with the state of Ohio Department of Natural Resources to accept grant funds for the use towards the city's Civic Center kitchen renovation. I know this project's been in the works for a long, long time. We will.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay,
more flexibility to allow the opportunity to find a space to continue to serve our Tuesday and Friday meals that we do every week by working with Director Altino with to book Elmer Rec in that kitchen space there. And also gives us more flexibility in terms of less disruption for the other city and community events that are hosted in the spring. The majority of our banquet rooms are utilized in the kitchen, are utilized for the end of the year for holiday parties, end of year meetings, things of that nature. So by switching it to again, late spring, early summer, it was less disruption, we continue to serve our residents at a high level.
Thank you, Emily. Any questions for Emily on this?
Just a quick one.
Yes.
Emily, the basic plan that we kind of sketched out back a couple of years ago, is that similar to what we're going to accomplish in terms of the space? I know there was some space allocation concerns. Just wondering if that was still the same plan.
So the space allocation plan slightly changed upon kind of initial conversation with U.S. Foods who came in. Originally, the plan was to expand the Civic Center kitchen into a storage area on the right-hand side of the pantry that's there.
Yeah.
But when we worked with U.S. Foods to get kind of a general layout of what could be possible, we found that we actually didn't need to do that expansion, that the current space could be reconfigured to fit our needs and the needs of the community, which will actually end up saving us money in the long run.
Good. Thank you.
And how long will the project take once it starts as far as the renovation goes?
So in terms of the actual construction of the project, the last time we received was anywhere from as short as 2 weeks to a full month. The longest part of the project will actually be the ordering of and having appliances come in. But the nice thing is that the appliances that we currently have, we can move out while construction is being complete and then put them back into the kitchen space until they arrive, because our current appliances, the ones that are finished, will be allocated elsewhere in the city.
Thank you.
We have till 6/24 to complete the project, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Very good. And for the record, the $2,000 out of the $100,000 is going to be going back to the state for their administrative costs?
Yes, that's correct.
You may or may not have answered my question. How much is the grant award? $100,000?
$100,000.
And how much of the $100,000 is going to be used for community services?
$98,000.
Oh, 98. So the whole grant's for community services. Thank you.
Yes.
So the amount of the city figures, they hold $2,000 or
yeah. Is that true with Walgreens with the state like that? They, Jim, is that true?
They work from White House and Ustra, yeah, they're pretty good.
Very good. Any other questions for Emily? Any opposition to this legislation? Again, we'll put this on the consent agenda.
Yeah. Are we using outside consultants or contractors to do the configurations and renovation, and or are we relying only on employees? And who's selecting the equipment if we need to buy new ovens or refrigerators? Are we using any outside consultants?
Yes.
To advise us on how to get this done.
So we've worked with two vendors previously, U.S. Foods and Trimark, who came in to talk about the appliances that are currently being used in other similar commercial kitchens of that nature. And we won't be out of bid for the appliances, but they put proposals together. U.S. Foods did have a design suggestion for us, so that would be part of working with them directly. Trimark does not provide a design layout, so we agree to work with them to order your appliances. So yes, we are working with outside.
For both design and equipment purchases.
Yes, for both design and equipment purchases.
And the grant's $90,000, the cost of the project, will that be?
So the last quote that we have for the entire project comes to about $325,000. That's about $100,000 worth of appliances and then $225,000 worth of construction. However, that quote was received before we decided not to expand it to the other spaces, so I anticipate that cost will come down.
Very good. Thank you. Very good, Mayor. I will turn over the meeting.
Okay. Let's see. Good evening. We have the regular meeting of council of January 10th, 2023. Clerk will call the roll.
DeGeronimo?
Here.
Grendel?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Tagliati?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Roberta?
Here.
Walt Chamberlain?
Here. Let's see. Any, let's see. Reverend? Aaron, from the Concordia Lutheran Church.
Good evening.
Good evening.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you teach us in your word that all governing authority comes ultimately from you. And so we thank you, Lord, for raising up these people to be leaders in this community. We ask, Lord, that you would bless them and guide them, give them wisdom. We know, Lord, that whenever you gather groups of people together, there will be differing insights, differing viewpoints, differing opinions, and all these things, Lord, need to be worked out. I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless this group with the patience to clearly listen and consider each viewpoint and opinion as it's shared, and that you would work through them with your spirit to bring them and to maintain them in a spirit of unity together as they work so hard to lead and govern this community, which so often is such a thankless job. But I give thanks to them this evening, Lord, and ask that you would bless this meeting and that all things would be done in good order and to the glory of your name and to the welfare of all the people of this community. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Reverend. Appreciate it. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Audience participation?
Yes.
There's a sheet.
There is a book.
I have handouts for Council, Debbie, and Mayor. Good evening, Christina.
Now, you're not going to take more than 3 minutes, are you?
No, I was going to take just the time.
Because Debbie's keeping track.
Mayor, I sent you an email back in July 11th of last year with a major complaint from seniors, a lot of the seniors, about the quality of food and the meal preparation and planning for the seniors specifically on Tuesdays. We used to have a very large crowd on Tuesday, and now the size of that crowd has diminished for various reasons, including what we consider substandard meals that are being served on Tuesday. There's been a measurable decline in the quality and also the selection. I want to emphasize that. I have referenced in the memo for you some standards for senior meal planning provided by the NCOA, that's the National Council on Aging Americans, the NIH, National Institute of Health, the USDA, and also from Professor T.H. Chan at Harvard University. I'm not going to regurgitate the information that I have put in my email, but it clearly outlines the type of meals that should be served and prepared for seniors. So I'd like to propose that we take a serious look at this again. We haven't seen any improvement since last July, and the email I wrote to you in July was the result of comments from the beginning of that year. So now we've almost gone an entire year, and we're going into 2023, and we as a group of seniors are very unhappy with the type of food that's being served, and we'd like to see some changes. Now, I do want to demonstrate with the attachments that this is not a personal issue for me, personal employee against employee, or employee against resident. So I've attached two copies of resumes to show a comparison. Prior to what we're being served last year and today, we had a chef on board. I don't know if you're familiar with her, but her name was Marlene. She's excellent, just excellent. And the reason being, if you take a look at the resume that I've attached, on page 3 of the handout, you will see that she graduated from the Pennsylvania Institute of Culinary Arts. And also on page 4, you'll see that she has a history of working for
such organizations as Marriott, Sammy's, and if she left our city, much to a lot of our displeasure, she won't have to miss the springs. Now, the situation we find ourselves in today is if you look at page 8, we currently have a full on board, but if you look at the relevant experience, you'll see that the experience includes nearly some prep work, prep food preparation work, for a restaurant called U-Class, and some time spent at Starbucks making coffee. So, based on those two levels of experience, we understand why there's just a measurable decrease in the quality of food and the meal preparation. So, on behalf of a lot of the seniors, I'd like to say that we'd like you to take a serious look at this, and let's get something done about this. Let's really step up our game. You've got to appreciate that even the Tuesday meal, and I'm only addressing Tuesday, is often the only meal that some of the seniors eat for the day. So rather than being loaded up with carbohydrates, salt, preservatives, well, let's pay attention to the guidelines that's been provided to us by the very organizations that I have cited. And I think you'll find that if you stick to those recommendations, we're not asking for a $15 meal for $5. Perfect. I think you can work quite successfully within those guidelines. We only pay $5. I think you can work quite successfully to provide a measurably improved meal on Tuesdays. So thank you for your consideration, and we'd like to see some changes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody? Oh, Tim Lesh.
Stop by for time. I'd like to wish everyone a happy holiday. Do you? I'll do. For the holiday season, I've had the opportunity to drive through the city, walk through the park, and I must say that the lights that and what the city did was just spectacular. It was an outstanding display of what the city did, all the work that was involved. I mean, I could really appreciate it when you walk through the park and you drive through the middle of town. The work, the effort that was put into it was spectacular, and it really showed and highlighted our city. And from the top to the bottom, everyone that was involved, I'd just like to say thank God, well done.
Thank you, Tim. All the credit goes to the team that works for the City of Independence that worked so hard the last couple months to put this together. And to echo your comment, it was a phenomenal experience for anyone who had the opportunity to drive through our city. We're all proud, but I got to give credit to the people that worked so hard to put it all together. The team. Teams, the different departments were phenomenal. Their effort, their combined effort. So they deserve all the credit, but I'll pass that along. But thank you. Is anybody else? Is there? Okay. No. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the Utilities and Sewers Committee meeting of December 5th, 2022, the regular council meeting of December 13th, 2022, special council meeting of December 20th, 2022, Streets and Sidewalks Committee meeting of December 20th, 2022?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And they are adopted. I'll submit the reports. On first reading, or second reading, we have ordinance 2022-167.
Time over.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance amending section 1181.06, schedule of required off-street parking of the codified ordinances of the City of Independence relating to off-street parking and loading requirements.
Motion to suspend?
No, we don't.
Nope, we don't need that. Motion to, I think it was suggested that there was going to be a motion to amend.
Yes. Motion to.
Go ahead.
Motion to adjust a portion of the piece of legislation.
Yeah, would your specifically, would be a motion to remove the change for places of worship from the suggested modification from 4 seats to 3 seats?
Yes.
Do I have a second?
Second.
We could call the roll on the amendment to the motion to, on the amendment motion.
Sure. DeGeronimo?
No.
Grindel?
No.
Narducci?
No.
Tagliati?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Waverka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
No.
And the motion fails. We have motion to adopt?
So moved.
Or, excuse me, motion to adopt, yes.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Grindel?
Yes.
Narducci?
Yes.
Tagliati?
No.
Tracus?
Aye.
Waverka?
No.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
DeGeronimo?
Yes.
And it's adopted. The consent, on the reading of the approval of the consent agenda, items listed under consent agenda are considered routine. Each item will be read individually into the record, and the consent agenda will then be voted on as a whole by one motion and roll call. Do I have a motion to read the consent agenda by title only?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Ordinance 2023-1, an ordinance amending section 141.01, Police Department Establishment, members of the codified ordinances of the City of Independence and declaring an emergency. Ordinance 2023-2, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a community cost share agreement with the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District for the Lower Brookside Road Stream Stabilization Project. Ordinance 2023-3, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a capital improvement community park recreation conservation project pass-through grant agreement with the State of Ohio Department of Natural Resources to accept grant funds for use towards the city's Civic Center kitchen renovation. Ordinance 2023-4, an ordinance authorizing the placement of property and casualty insurance through Selective Insurance Company of America for 2023 to 2024. That's it.
Motion suspend.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion adopt.
So moved.
Any questions on the adoption of the consent agenda? Call the roll.
Narducci?
Yes.
Tagliati?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Waverka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
DeGeronimo?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
And the consent agenda is adopted. We have one other business, miscellaneous business, liquor permit transfer from Jackie's on Main Street in Miller City, Ohio to STM Petroleum, 7099 Brecksville Road.
Mayor, was this different than last month?
No.
No.
It's the same one.
Jess is going to explain it.
Oh.
So from last month's meeting, it was a liquor permit from, that was being transferred in from another community to the gas station at the corner of Brecksville Residential Side. After discussion with the attorney representing the gas station, this is not a transfer in permit, so there's some mix-up with the folks at the Division of Liquor Control. There is a CO2 permit that they are applying for that is available to the city of Independence based on our quotas. So there's a quota system for liquor permits, and they're stating that they're applying for an available C2 permit that's available in the city, and that and not the transfer permit, which is what's been submitted to us. So when you go through the Ohio Division of Liquor Control, you see that there's two permit applications, one for C2, one for the C2X. They want the one that's here already.
Any objection? Thank you, Jessica. Okay, there being no objection, I want to thank everyone for attending this evening. And again, reiterate the fact that the employees of the city do a great job all year long. We're able to swear in three police officers this evening. And we have a full complement today. One of the priorities the people spoke about was safety, and between manpower, technology, training, and all the different aspects of safety in our community, Chief Butler's done a real nice job of positioning ourselves for the future. So, Chief, congratulations on the new hires. And with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations. We finished the meeting by...
Yeah, it doesn't have to go to council.
Okay, but thank you.
There's